Support for this episode of Pwned and the following message comes from New Harbor Security. New Harbor Security is your end-to-end provider of security services and security solutions. If you're looking for a security partner that actually gives a shit and can provide smart security solutions and services for your business, visit us at www.newharborsecurity.com. Hey, have you been thinking about getting a SOC 2 report? Are you unsure whether you should do a SOC 2 Type 1 or SOC 2 Type 2? Confused about which trust service principal to go after? If yes, then this episode is for you, and sit tight. Hey, it's Justin. We're going to be diving into this one and more on this week's episode of Pwned. This is Pwned, a weekly show about questions I hear from security professionals, security engineers, and CISOs, and stories about how they're protecting their organizations. This show answers questions about all things information security, from technology to security frameworks to best practices and how-tos. So, first things first, what is a SOC 2 report? A SOC 2 report stands for Service Organizational Control Report. The designation of a 2 at the end of it signifies that it's an assurance report to validate technological controls that are in place for service organizations. The SOC 2 report, as an assurance instrument, was developed by the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants, otherwise known as the AICPA. It's the same organization that certifies hundreds of thousands of certified public accountants across the country. Now, within the space, and we start talking about SOC 2, we're talking about SOC 2 Type 1 or SOC 2 Type 2, the main difference there is that a SOC 2 Type 1 is intended to be a point-in-time assessment. So the accounting firm will come in and look at your point-in-time controls and validate that they're designed appropriately. A SOC 2 Type 2 validates that your SOC 2 controls were in place for a period of time. And that period of time can vary based on your individual organizational requirements. So it could be 3 months, it could be 6 months, it could be a year. But most commonly, I see either 6 months or a year. And in those cases, it's basically a historical look back over the audit period. When we start to think about a SOC 2 report, the SOC 2s are broken down into what's called trust service principles. And there's 5 trust service principles that make up the SOC 2 report. And those are security, availability, processing integrity, confidentiality, and privacy. Now, what's important about the trust service principles, and it's important also when you're reviewing a SOC 2 report, is that not all trust service principles are required. The only required trust service principle is security, and the other trust service principles are optional. Most commonly, I'll see security paired with availability or confidentiality, only because the availability and confidentiality controls are so small, and to add those on to security is a pretty minor lift. So it's also significant for the people doing vendor assessments or looking at another organization's SOC 2 report is how many trust service principles are actually implemented or included within the report that you're looking at. So trying to compare apples to apples, you may look at one SOC 2 report and they may only have security as their lone trust service principle within the report. Alternatively, you may look at a different company and may have all 5 trust service principles in play. It's important to note in those cases, whether you have one trust service principle or 5 trust service principles, they're both titled a SOC 2 report, and there's no differentiation as to how many trust service principles are in place unless you get into the details of the report. So when we start to think about trust service principles, they're actually objectives and they're not best practices. How each organization achieves the trust service principle objectives can vary widely from organization to organization. And the way that this works is that each organization has to design their own controls to match the trust service principle objective. And in some cases, that could be a best practice that the organization has implemented. Some cases, it could just be checking the box to meet the objective. But in all cases, the controls that are in place at one organization to meet the objective likely aren't the same controls at a different organization to meet the same objective. This is very important to note if you are in the position where you're reviewing SOC 2 reports, especially if you're reviewing the SOC 2 reports to look at any non-conformities or anomalies within the report. And a lot of it could really come down to the rigor of control that the company's SOC 2 report that you're actually reviewing. In those cases, you might see one organization who has really crafted their controls around security best practices or confidentiality best practices, and you may see another organization that has written controls in a very check-the-box type of ad hoc manner. In those cases, the level of rigor of those SOC 2 reports are very, very different, and you should consider that when you're actually reviewing those SOC 2 reports. So, who can deliver a SOC 2 report? So who can deliver a SOC 2 report is only firms that have been registered as accounting firms within the specific state which the SOC 2 report is being delivered. So in other words, if you're an organization in South Dakota looking to have a SOC 2 report, you need to find a public accountancy firm that's registered to do business in South Dakota that has the competency to deliver a SOC 2 report. If you find an organization, say in Florida, and they're not registered in your state to do business, they technically, by rule of the AICPA, cannot deliver the SOC 2 report. Also worth noting is that the organization that delivers your SOC 2 report or opines on the trust service principles objectives cannot be the same organization that helps you remediate gaps or shortcomings, because effectively they're auditing their own work. And the biggest requirement of the AICPA SOC 2 report is that it's independent. And it can't be independent if you're auditing your own work. So a lot of people ask me, do I need a SOC 2 report? The answer is maybe, and it depends. And what it depends on is your intent for getting the report and the type of organization that you are. If you are a service organization looking to give your consumers some confidence as to the security controls or the objectives that you're adhering to within your organization, then perhaps maybe it makes some sense. If you're not a service organization, I think what you'll find is that the SOC 2 report is a little bit of an awkward fit because the objectives of the report don't necessarily match those of your business. And if you're looking to get a SOC 2 as a way for someone to independently verify that you're doing everything that you should be doing from a security best practices standpoint, definitely don't pursue the SOC 2 report for those reasons. And if you do, make sure you file the report in the bathroom next to the toilet paper dispenser so that you can get a little bit longer life out of the role. So that's all I have for this week, and I'll catch you later. Thanks for listening to the show this week. If you want to learn more, listen to previous episodes, or snag some show notes, you can go to my website at justinfimley.com and reach me on the website contact form, or you can reach me on Twitter at justinfimley. Please also subscribe to the show at Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. Please give us a 5-star rating because your ratings help to make the show possible.